You're listening to Kol Dodi Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at koldodi.org.
Let's read that passage here in Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. So, Father, we pray you open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word. Speak to us through the scriptures, through this passage in particular, we pray. But whatever you would have us to learn and to grow through in this morning, B'Shem Yeshua. Gali nai v'avitani v'la'ot me toratecha B'Shem Yeshua. Amen v'amen. So, Rambam, or Nachmanides, he was a Sephardic Talmudist, a physician also, by the way. Many times, the rabbis in those days had joint professions. He was in the year 1200 in Spain. Many remember that year here, I'm sure. He explains the need for so many examples in this passage of long and short encampments and journeys. Even if the cloud remained for a long time at a site which the people found inhospitable, they submitted to God's will. Sometimes the people may have wanted a long rest from a difficult journey, but the cloud stayed in place for only a number of days and then moved on. And sometimes they would have only an overnight respite from travel and be forced to leave in the morning. On other occasions, they would march through the night and then rest for a full day and night. And then seeing that the cloud remained in place and thinking that it would make camp for a period of time, they would begin to unpack, and then the cloud would lift unexpectedly, making it more difficult to travel than if they had been only for an overnight rest. Sometimes they would rest for 2 days and get the signal to march at night, an even more difficult situation. That's in verse 22 here. Whatever the situation, the people marched and rested without complaint, he says. I don't know if that's always true, but it doesn't mention it here. According to the word of God, as indicated by the cloud. Let's read it, verse 15. On the day the tabernacle was erected, the cloud covered the tabernacle. By evening until morning, the cloud above the tent of the testimony had an appearance like fire. That's at night. It was that way continually. The cloud covered it, and by night it appeared like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted up from above the tent, then the children of Israel would set out. And at the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would encamp. I'll show you those two words in a minute in Hebrew. At the mouth of the Adonai, the children would set out. And at the mouth of Adonai, notice that, the mouth of Adonai, they would encamp. All the days that the cloud remained over the tabernacle, they would remain in camp. When the cloud would remain over the tabernacle many days, children of Israel would obey the command of Adonai and not set out. At times, the cloud stayed over the tabernacle only a few days. At Adonai's word, they would encamp. And at Adonai's word, they would set out. At times, the cloud would remain only from evening until morning. When the cloud would lift, they would set out. Whether by day or by night, when the cloud lifted, they would set out. Whether for 2 days or a month or a year, that doesn't really say that, but while the cloud remained over the tabernacle, the children of Israel remained encamped and would not set out. But when it would lift, they would set out. At Adonai's word, they would encamp. At the mouth of Adonai, they would set out. They obeyed Adonai's order by Moses' hand. So repetitive for a reason. There's a reason that it repeats itself so much. The mouth of the Lord, the mouth of the Lord, the Lord's word, the Lord's word, the Lord's word, the mouth of the Lord, encamp, set out, on and on it goes. The cloud would determine where they started, where they stopped, not vice versa. They accompanied the cloud did not accompany them, right? So there's a principle here. Number one, we don't dictate to God. He is the king, not us. Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, his maker. concerning my sons and the work of my hands. You command me? That's the way it would really translate, I think, in Isaiah 45:11. It's interesting. Christians, I remember when I was a young believer, hearing it, you know, in a sort of Pentecostal circle saying, concerning the works of my hands, command me, God says. You tell me what to do. They were using that verse to say, God, you tell me what to do, God says. No, it's just the opposite. God says, are you going to tell me what to do? Just the opposite. God says, I'm the king. You don't tell. We're here first for him, not he first for us. Now, there's a time for everything in God's economy, the way God works. There's a time for us to heal, and there's a time for us to help. And we let God determine that. And by the way, we don't judge one another for that, do we? It's so important that we don't judge one another. We don't say, well, this is the time when you should be doing this. No, we let God work in people's lives. And we don't determine. God, it may be a time for you to be healing and a time for that person to be serving and vice versa. And you don't know. You don't determine that for that person. You determine it for yourself and you and God. Very important. But imagine what it was like. There's a time to be still and a time to wait and rest. And then there's a time to be active and to be serving. And only you and God can really determine that in your life. I can imagine it, you know, like they're can you imagine we're waiting, God, they're just settling in, and all of a sudden the cloud is up. What? In my PJs, Lord? I have to get up and go now? Yeah, right in your PJs. Get up and go. Here we go. But the Lord says, we're here for him, not he for us. Now, there's a balance for that. I mean, there's a balance. Thank God, I love that God loves us with an unconditional love, and he builds us up in his love. In Jeremiah 31:3, I remember getting that promise as a young believer, you know, opening my first Bible outside of my bar mitzvah Bible that, you know, that I was given, you know, but a Bible I found at a yard sale. You know, that as far as the whole Bible, I remember getting that and bringing it home and opening it up and turning to Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved, yea, I have, the Lord has appeared to me from afar, saying, yea, I have loved you. King James, you know, it was a King James Bible. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. And I just, wow, the Holy Spirit taking that and pierce. I thank God he loves us that way, you know. But we're here first for him, not he for us, you know. And there's sometimes a difference seen in Judaism and contemporary Christianity. Judaism stresses that the world was created for God to reflect his glory. It's in our prayers, like the Amida and the Kaddish, and all Hebrew prayers, beginning with blessing God as king of the universe, right? How does every prayer start, right? Baruch, let's say it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Every Hebrew prayer or blessing really starts with, we bless God who is creator of the universe. We're starting first with not, Lord, I need this. Lord, help me first. I mean, obviously, if you're going off a cliff, you know, your car's headed, you know, I'm going to say, Lord, I'm blessed. We're going to say, Lord, help. But really, every prayer starts with blessing God first. We're really putting him first, like looking to him first. And there's been a shift in much of modern Christian worship music and prayers and messages. We're really more of a me-centric. Music lyrics and maybe I'd call it selfie sermons. It's all about God being here for me first, more than me being here for God. Would you agree? And so that's important. That's one reason I think people are drawn sometimes to the Messianic. They realize, wait a minute, this is a little more the way it's supposed to be, the way it is in the Bible. So that God is the center, not me. It's theocentric, if you would, rather than anthropocentric. And so the word for encamp and set out, let's look at those two words, if you would. Encamp is the word chana. Let's say chana. And it means to, when they would encamp, it means to rest. To rest temporarily from directed movement. So it's time to rest. They would settle. They would rest from directed movement. The word for to set out when they would get up and go was nasa. Let's say nasa. Nasa. Nasa would mean to travel, to move to a more suitable place. So it's time to move. And when they would, that this word is used seven times. So, and we see this in verses 19 through 22, used seven times. So look at these phrases. It says many days in verses 19 through 22. Many days, yamim rabim. Only a few days, yamim misaper. Evening until morning really would be me'erev ad boker, really like a half day. Then there would be by day and by night, yomer velayla, really probably a day and a half. Or maybe the cloud would just be there for 2 days. In Hebrew, it just says yamim, days. Or a month, chodesh. Or it says, translates a year here, yamim b'acharich. I try to translate that. Best I can get, really, it would really mean days in the long run or extended days, you know, a long time. So as the cloud would be there, there was no, think about it, no pre-programmed schedule. Short and long stops, sometimes in very unfavorable locations, the rabbis tell us. The cloud would park, and you would think it's finally time to rest and settle, and you unpack everything and think, you know, everything's okay. And suddenly, the cloud goes up. The shofars or trumpets sound. Time to get up and travel. Oh, no, okay. And, you know, if you're going on a trip, and of course it's Memorial Weekend, a lot of people maybe took trips, especially with restrictions lifting more, and the more you can prepare, you know, when you're and planning out a trip, the more you can relax if you prepare and, you know, well for a trip. We're not good at that. We've never been really good at that. But when you, the more you can prepare, the more you can relax on the trip. And they couldn't do that, really. Think about it. They couldn't do that. They had, why? They had to totally rely upon God. And that was the point. God wanted them reliant upon him. And he wants us reliant upon him. I want you to think about it. Are not some of our problems in our lives, you know, what was that phrase that I've said? Who is it that said, what is it? Life is wasted on the youth or something like that? Or youth is, what is it? Yeah, life, yeah. I mean, if we could go back and change some of the things we did when we were young, we would all change things, you know, those of us that have lived, you know, that were young and aren't young anymore, you know. But we can't, because we make mistakes. We make choices when we're younger that we wouldn't do the same things. But that's the way it is. But are not some of our problems due to not heeding the mouth of the Lord, the word of the Lord, when we had the chance to do it? Do I sometimes not leave before he has left? Or do I stay after he has left? The cloud has left. Do I get itchy feet? My wife will tell you, it's so good to have her here today, back today. She'll tell you that's me. I get itchy feet. I have in my life, many in our lives together. We've been married 33 years. Or do I have, maybe you're more prone to have lazy feet. I'm at ease in Zion. Amos 6, verses 1 and 4 say, you know, woe to those who are at ease in Zion, reclining on beds of ivory. Or I make haste rather than trust. Isaiah 24, 16 says, don't make haste, but trust in the Lord. I don't want to go ahead of him, and neither do I want to lag behind him. I want to go with him. Or say, as Moses said, if he doesn't go, I don't want to go. Exodus 33:15. Lord, if you don't go, I'm not going. Now, remember King Saul in 1 Samuel 13. He didn't wait for Samuel, the prophet Samuel, to offer the sacrifice. He waited. When is Samuel coming? He's supposed to be. Where is Samuel? Where is Shmuel, the prophet? Hanavi? Where is he? All right, he's not coming. I'm offering the sacrifice. Oh, no. Big mistake, Saul. Big mistake. Biggest mistake you could make. He offered the sacrifice. Didn't wait. Went ahead of God. Or how about Martha and Miriam? Both being angry at Yeshua. Why were they angry? Because he delayed in coming to heal Lazarus. And he let him die. In John chapter 11, he let Lazarus die. Yeshua, don't you care? What's the matter with you? What is the matter with you? You could have saved him. You could have been here on earlier. You could have come. There was no, what stopped you? You could have come and you let him die. What's the matter with you? Well, we know he raised him from the dead. But they didn't know he was going to do that. And they were really upset with him. Why didn't he come earlier? He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. They were upset. Lot and his family hesitated to leave Sodom when the judgment of sulfur and fire was about to fall. And Lot was, they had to pull him out with his wife and the daughters, because he just was taking his good old time, and he almost got killed along with everyone else. And that was in Genesis 19. I look forward to on a certain night of the week I play. With a lot of pickleball, with a lot of young players. There's a mix of some older ones in, but it's intense competition. A lot of young, upcoming, advanced players, and one fellow that just moved here from Hawaii, and I talked to him, and sure enough, he's a believer, and he said he just moved here. I said, "Why?" "What brought you here?" He said, "Well, just the Lord told me to come." He says, "And I've got a mentor, a guy that works with me, and I don't even know fully what I'm doing yet, but the Lord told me to come to Nashville." So the cloud told him, and he's here. Great guy, great spirit. First guy I've known from Hawaii. And he's here, and he's playing pickleball. He's a good player. I did lose that game, and then I beat him in the next game. Because if you lose, you move down, and you split up, and if you win, you move up and split up. So I love it. It's a real challenge. Challenging game. But great guy. I won't give you his name, but hopefully I'll get him here. I'll tell him about it. He's going to come. But the cloud moved for him, you know. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of the Lord, the Ruach Elohim, these are the sons of God." The Hebrew is, the Greek rather, is weos. It's the sons of God, sons or daughters of God. It means mature. Sons of God, not children, not technon, not children, not babies, but mature. When we allow God to lead us, that's maturity. Because God doesn't lead us to do what we want to do, he leads us to do what he wants us to do, which is oftentimes not what we want us to do. Do you understand? It's not me, this is what I want to do, but to be led by the Spirit of God means maturing, growing to do what he wants me to do, oftentimes to the death of myself. The death of my personal preference, my preference. And so that's Romans 8:14. If the cloud is on the tabernacle, don't go anywhere. If the cloud is on the tabernacle, I repeat, don't go anywhere. If it's there, don't go. Oh, I can tell you, I even came back to my mind this morning. I remember a situation where I literally, I'm talking about physically moved, geographically moved, and the cloud was on the tabernacle. It was a great offer. It was a great offer, and it wooed me. And it was ministry, and it was ministry, and it was said, look at all this we give you. And it was the first time. I was young, and it was so alert. And it was like, look at all this ministry. You'll have all this stuff. I didn't know better, but I took it. And I remember the person that was kind of mentoring, helping us, and saying, oh, but look, we've got so many things, plans you're going to do. And it was raining that night, and Francis would remember, and he said, this night when they were praying for us to go, and he said, I didn't want you to go, and it's raining, and he was from another country, and he said, it's raining tonight because there's tears in heaven. I couldn't believe he's saying this in front of the group, you know, but I think he was probably right in a way. It's all right, God works things together for good, but he was saying heaven is, it's a little raining right now, tears in heaven. Anyway, but you know what? I want to just say to you, if the cloud is there, stay. When the cloud is there, don't go. Do I want to be going without God? Likewise, if the cloud moves, I better move with it. Do I want to remain without God where I am? I don't want to go alone, nor do I want to stay alone. I met a guy, I just wrote this down, I'll just share it, just either late last night, this morning, I don't know if it goes along with this, but Henry Blackaby said, I went to us. Anyone hear of Henry Blackaby? I've never met him after this, but years ago, young in ministry, great anointed man of God. He just shared, I went to his seminar, and I was very skeptical. I'd been to a few seminars. I said, seminar, oh, come on. They'll give you 12 points. I'll never remember the 12 points, you know. But it was really good. It was really good. He was anointed. I was surprised, you know, and I said, I mean, it was because it was a denominational, and it was really, and he said, I just remember the gist of his thing. It was so powerful. It's called Experiencing God. And he basically said, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, the principle was, ask God to show you where he is already at work. God is at work. He's already at work. Ask God to show you where he's already at work. And when he does that, when God shows you that, okay, when he does, that is his invitation for you to join him in the work. Understand? When God shows, I think the nursery's open. When God shows you when he opens your eyes to where he's already at work, that's his invitation to you to join him in the work. Isn't that amazing? I remember him sharing that, and it really was powerful to me. But he emphasized this. It will require a painful adjustment on your part to do so. It'll always require a painful adjustment, like a chiropractic readjustment on my part to do it. Yeshua said in John 12:26, if any man serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there also will my servant be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So Lord, show us, each of us, where you are at work. Are we willing to? Are we willing to? Now, again, this of course does not relate to geographic mobility only, but to being directed by the Lord in our lives in any area. Israel was in transition from Egypt to the Promised Land. They were supposed to park in Eretz Israel eventually. But the issue was lordship, being under the king's directives. So it's whenever, however, whoever, wherever. When called to the Messianic Jewish movement, many of you understand, you're misunderstood. You had to relearn. When you're called to the Messianic synagogue, the idea of you had to leave the old paradigm, the comfort and security of Western Christianity, right? And there's a readjustment, there's a realignment, and there's a shift. Many believers sadly go without God, and they live lives without God except for minimal experiences. And there will be little to show at the judgment seat of the Messiah. Wood, hay, straw. Other believers go with God. Risk, discomfort, times of difficulty, misunderstood by others, sacrifice, perseverance. I know some of you go through a lot of that, will and have gone through and will. Perseverance, as I said, faithfulness. You'll have gold, silver, costly stones, precious stones. 1 Corinthians 3, I'm talking about verses 11 through 15 at the judgment, at the Bema, the judgment seat of Messiah. Many believers sadly stay when God has already left. But I'm quite comfortable. I feel I don't prefer change. I really don't prefer change, rather. How dare the living God interrupt me? Wood, hay, straw. Other believers stay with God, even though others all say it's foolish or a waste of time. Oh, how I want to change. Oh, how boring this is. What could I possibly be learning? But I'll stay. Though he slay me, I'll trust him. Job 13:15. Gold, silver, precious stones. Faithfulness, endurance, perseverance. Again, if any man serves me, let him follow me. He must follow me. Where I am, there will also my servant be. If anyone serves me, him will my Father honor. Ruth 1:16, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Revelation 14:4, these are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Revelation 14:4. For some, it's easy to sit still. For others, it's incredibly painful. For some, it's easy to launch out. For others, it's petrifying. So the psalmist said, wait, I will wait for Adonai. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. The writer of Genesis, probably Moses, in Genesis 28, I guess, 15, he says, behold, I'm with you. He says, I will watch over you. The Lord says, wherever you go. The cloud means, Anan, means to make something fruitful or productive, because the cloud brings rain. To be where the cloud is means I'm going to be fruitful. Isn't that great? If I'm with the cloud, I'm going to be fruitful. If not, I'll be unfruitful. Stay with the cloud. Move with the cloud and find myself fruitful. It's that simple. Move with the cloud. Go with the cloud. Stay with the cloud. And now, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for the one who comes to God must believe he exists. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. It takes faith to go, and it takes faith to stay. Amen. The faithfulness, the faith word faith, aman, emunah from aman, means to depend and rely upon God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways know him, and he'll direct your paths. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. He'll make your path straight. What is God, what is God saying to me today? To stop or go? To rest or to move? Get up or sit down? To start or stay? Get active and helping or get quiet and listening? Be still and know I'm God? Or take up the scroll and start writing? Start speaking? Heal or help? Be where the cloud is. Father, we thank you, and we pray you continue to breathe on these thoughts today from the Midbar, from Numbers chapter 9, for each one of us and for us collectively as well. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And if you've never received Yeshua and given your life to the Lord, this would be a great time to do it. Matter of fact, it's the only time you know you can do it, because we don't know that we have tomorrow. So say, Lord, just give in to him. I want to be with you. I want to know you. I receive Yeshua. I want to give my life to you and receive Yeshua in my life. Give my life to you. Trust you. Thank you for dying for my sins. Forgiving. I want to have your forgiveness and eternal life. And trust you. I entrust myself to you today, Hashem, in your name. And let us know that you're making that decision today. Write us, contact us in any way, and we'll respond to you and help you any way we can. Amen. And there'll be people to hear to pray with you afterwards, some prayer team, if you need someone to agree with you in prayer. Right now I'm going to be turning it over to Jeff, but also my wife is going to come. We didn't have a chance last week. She couldn't be here. Her mom had passed, and we're going to take a little time. She's going to remember, in memorial, we're going to remember Nellie for a few minutes. And do you know about this, Jeff?
Yeah, she's going to do it first.
Yes.
Yeah.
Francis is going to come up now.
Good morning. No, you haven't seen me in a long, long time because I've been taking care of my mom. You know, last year having a very tough year for us. First Samuel departed and went to be with the Lord. 8 months later, my brother died and also went to be with the Lord. And now 8 months later, my mom passed last Saturday. And in between, our dog also died. So it's just been a very tough year. And I have to stay at home with my mom because I didn't have anybody to help me. So, but it's okay because it was a season that the Lord provided for me so that I can be consoled, because I was totally broken. I'm still broken. But it's a season in which I needed my mom to help me to go through this season of our life with such a loss physically, that our son is not with us anymore, but he's in heaven, and I'm grateful for that. And Samuel and my mom were super close. Samuel used to take my mom every day for breakfast. He would take her to the market. He would take care of her, and he would call her every day. She was the love of his life, and I'm very grateful for that. I was blessed of growing in an incredible home. I have incredible parents, and my mom was the best. She was such a kind person. She loved so sacrificially. She was so generous. She was a woman of perseverance. She suffered all through her life, but she said, "I'm always living." When she was 39, she had a brain stroke twice. And she had to start working, and she crawled in the ground for months and months, and she persevered and worked and worked and worked until she was able to walk and live her life, and you could not tell that she had had brain stroke. She encouraged us every day, all of us. She had an incredible resilience. She never gave up. As I said, as I can remember in my childhood, she was in and out of the hospital constantly for one thing or another. But she kept going on. She kept going on. And when she met our Messiah, she was an incredible woman of faith, of prayer, and she always said, God knows why he's doing things like that. We just have to trust him, and we have to keep going on. As I said, she had lots of sorrows in her life, but she always looked at our Messiah. She never gave up, and she always persevered. She had an incredible legacy. We were four children, and first my brother, my oldest brother, died, and that's how we came to faith one by one. And after that, three were left. Now we are two left, and she have incredible children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And many of you knew her. She was always here, very happy, lifting her hands, praising the Lord, serving, praying, interceding, and so on. And I want us to remember her, and I want to encourage every woman here to be like her. You know, to be like her. Pass it along to your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And this was my mom, Nellie. Thank you so much.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmorecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom v'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar HaShalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious to give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.